Welcome back. This is Chris, and this is the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful, and we unveil key tips and insights through expert and millionaire interviews and tips and insights to help you increase your journey as an entrepreneur in your business. And today I've got a phenomenal guest that I actually met at a networking event, and I'm so excited to introduce her because she is a phenomenal woman. Her name is Kim Notert, and she actually is a world-renowned, award-winning international photographer, and she's actually shot photos of celebrities, of professionals, of corporate events, and corporate leaders and seniors all across America and Europe. And while she's not shooting, what she does is she teaches students workshops to be professional photographers and to help them transition into the international market. So her main specialty is she focuses on weddings and boudoir shots. And again, however, though, she is very eclectic in her background with the different clients that she works with, and she works with some of the top photography experts in the world, like Michael Gilbert and a few other incredible individuals. So I'm so excited to welcome and to bring on the call Ms. Kim Notert. So Kim, welcome to the call. How are you doing today?
I am great. Hi, Chris. Thank you so much for asking me to do interview.
Absolutely. I love bringing artist backgrounds and different types of individuals to our network here. And I'd love for you to share, because I think photography is so cool. You can capture so many unique, you know, perspectives on the human nature and our culture. And I'd love to understand, how did you get into photography?
Wow. Well, I sold my first image when I was 13 years old by accident. We were on vacation in Maine, and I took some images, and when they were developed, my mom worked for a TV station, and the company developing them came back and asked if they could purchase some of them to, I think they would make calendars or a book cover or something out of one of them. I'm not sure where it ended up, but that sort of led me in the direction, knowing this is what I wanted to do.
Oh, wow. At 13, how amazing is that? How did they find your photo?
Excuse me?
How did they find your photo?
It was the developing company where my mom took the film. This was back in the film days. I'm totally aging myself here. And so they saw the negatives and saw the photo and was like, wow, they thought my mom had taken it, and which is a joke because mom doesn't do any photography, even though she works for a TV station. And so she was like, no, that's my 13-year-old daughter.
Oh, wow. So did that kind of inspire you to keep learning the trade and becoming a better photographer?
You know, it really did. I didn't truly get to learn so much. I majored in business in college, which looking back was the best move I could have made because ultimately I'm running a business. And I didn't really start pursuing it until my son was getting a little older. He was maybe 8 years old when I got published by accident. I shot St. Andrew's Golf Course, and the magazine heard about my images and ended up publishing me. And then another magazine out in Colorado, it used to be Vail Valley Golf, I'm not sure the name of it now, but they published the same article. And then I shot Pebble Beach Golf Course, and that got published, and I didn't know my F-stops. I knew I had an eye, but I didn't know how to go about getting to where I wanted to go with it.
Right. So how did this evolve into a business for you?
Well, I saw if I was getting published and I didn't know what I was doing, that maybe I better go learn. So, you know, where better to learn photography than the streets of Paris? So I took off for a workshop and became a workshop junkie. I studied in Paris, Ireland, across America, just wherever I could find a really cool workshop by somebody I really admired their work, or I felt like they had something to really offer me. And I went and took workshop after workshop for several years. I still do them. I'm still a junkie. The day I stop learning is the day I'm finished.
Right. That is amazing. So you started going over in Paris, and that's where your first – I mean, you already had obviously talent and skill sets, but that's what kind of refined it for you through going through all those workshops overseas. Now, when you were over there, is there something specific that you learned that helped bring out you know, more character in your pictures now today, or?
Basically, my the bells and whistles on the camera. I bought a camera that was 100% manual, so that I couldn't cheat, because that's where people are mistaken when they want to be a pro photographer. They think they can come in on program or aperture priority or any of those settings, and some people do it and make it work. Very few truly nail it in those settings. You've got to be able to shoot consistently in manual and nail it time and time again under extreme lighting conditions. You've got to be able to walk into a situation and immediately look at it and know how to capture it. And that's where, unfortunately, our market with the digital age is getting flooded by people who don't know what they're doing. I didn't want to be one of those people, and this was back in the film days, so I had to also learn every roll of film out there and what kind of results it was going to give me. But ultimately, it made me a much better photographer.
Hi, it's Chris, and you're listening to the Chris Gilbertson Show. And just real quickly, I wanted to let you know, if you are a speaker, a coach, an expert, a professional, if you're looking for a way to reach a global audience, gain instant expert or celebrity status within your niche, rank number one on Google for your keywords, where essentially you can reach more people, make more sales, and have more fun. Head over again to Chris Gilbertson, that's Chris, K-R-I-S, Gilbertson.com, to learn more about the power of podcasting and how it can truly help you transform your business and engage in social media in a whole new way than you ever thought possible. So again, just head over to ChrisGilbertson.com and download my free ebook on why now is the right time to podcast. So without further ado, we're going to head back into Miss Kim Noderf's interview, where she is a world-renowned international photographer, where she's sharing secrets to phenomenal photography for you and your business.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at your portfolio here that you sent me, I mean, your shots are amazing. They just, and I don't know the terminology of, you know, the aperture, and I don't know all of that stuff, but you can just tell when you see a really high quality, and it captures that whole essence of the person and the environment. It's just amazing. So for someone like me who doesn't have any, you know, picture-taking experience besides just point and click and shoot with her phone, you know, what are some key what are some key tips that you could help me, and I'm sure there's listeners just like me that have no idea how to shoot photography, that can help them, like with their blogs and their websites and things that they do where they want to share content and have cool captured pictures that they've, you know, seen out in the road or in their daily activities?
You know, the first things I tell people is zoom in. The number one amateur mistake is being so far back that your subject's a little bitty dot off in the background.
Right.
And if you're on vacation and you're wanting to get a picture of your family and you're in front of the, say, Eiffel Tower or something, let's go big. Think big. Dream
right.
big.
Right. Exactly.
If you want to get a picture of the Eiffel Tower, you're not going to go put your family right next to the Eiffel Tower. You're going to, you know, and I have shot it that way to get some artsy cool stuff. But nobody's going to maybe know that's the Eiffel Tower. So you got to pull your subjects up close to the camera, but way far in front of what it is in the background you're wanting, so that you can actually see that item in the background. But also watch out for trees and sticks, different objects shooting out the back of people's heads. That can be very disconcerting. And gosh, let's see what other things. Don't get right on someone with a flash. You know, I see the Bambi in the headlights, I call it, all the time with amateur photography. And I see people charging for their photography that shoot that way. They'll turn the flash right on somebody and pop them, and back behind them is pure black. That's not good.
Oh, yeah, right.
So try to look around for a natural lit area if you have a point and shoot, because the flash does tend to be overpowering in some of those little cameras for what the camera captures. And if you can get your subjects outside, try not to shoot them at noon. Everybody gets the black hollow sockets in their eyes at noon because the sun is directly overhead and it shadows their eyes. So, you know, look for some shade of a building or something around a tree to get them under, to make your subjects look a little, I'm talking about shooting people here obviously too, but it makes your subjects just look a lot more natural, and the light is a lot kinder to their skin.
Okay. Is it better morning or afternoon, or just not around noon?
Early morning, late afternoons the best. We call those the golden hours. Personally, I like the quality of light at sunset better. Plus, I don't have to be showered and up with a client at, 6 a.m. So
Right.
that's an advantage. I'm awake then, and usually a nice glass of wine can follow afterwards. So that's my favorite time to shoot. I've also noticed a huge difference in lighting conditions between the East Coast and West Coast.
Really?
Huge, yes. So if you're, and not that you can't get fantastic shots on the East Coast, you can. But I notice when I'm shooting in California and Oregon, Washington, and even Hawaii, it's like that afternoon, late sunset, the quality of light is much, much better on the West Coast, in my opinion.
Now, why is that, do you think?
Well, the pollution levels in the air changes the sunset and the quality of life, and actually, or the quality of light, and actually pollution, for once, is our friend when we're looking at lighting. It changes the way it reflects, and I'm not quite sure. I'm sure there's a lot of scientists out here will come back going, "Oh, it's because of this, this, and this." I have just
Right.
noticed a huge difference on the West Coast. So if I'm shooting for a magazine or something and have models, if I can possibly pick where in the country I want to be shooting, I would pick the West Coast.
Wow, that's really interesting. Very, very interesting. Now, are there, so when, you're shooting, people, are there certain positions of, because you're not always shooting them, obviously, directly straight on in front of them. I mean, are there better positions to angle your camera at, or some tips and advice on how to do positioning for better spatial aspects to a picture?
Well, it depends. If you're shooting men, shooting them head on is great because the camera is going to widen anything that you're shooting directly at with the way the lenses do. And so men need to look, broader chest, the masculine look, and that's head on. For women, you want to turn the shoulders at an angle. Don't turn them sideways. Again, it widens whatever is near. Going side to side. So
Right.
you
We
don't
all
want to
like
make their
that.
butt look bigger. No
Right.
woman wants that.
Exactly.
And yeah, exactly. And when I shoot weddings and even boudoir, I tell the women, it's like we call it the diva pose, and I
Okay.
teach them to angle their hips to me and bring their front leg out towards me just an inch or so even, and bend their knees slightly. It just, you want them to bend at their joints a little bit to give a more feminine look. And so I'll tell the girls to do that, and I tell them whatever's closest to my camera lens is going to look bigger. So I tell them breast forward and butts back, and that always gets a good laugh because, again, most women want the breasts to look bigger, half of them do,
Yep.
and they want their butts to look smaller. It's just our society, so.
Those are fantastic tips. Outstanding. Because it definitely does make an impact on how you position yourself in those photos to, for the appearance. So that's outstanding. Now, for the new beginner, what type of camera do you suggest to get started with?
In my philosophy, if you were opening a dress store, you're not going to go buy, $500 worth of clothes and let them sit there for 3 years, 4 years, until you can come back and buy some more clothes, and then slowly get your shop all your inventory in before you open your doors. By the time you do, everything you've bought is going to be obsolete or out of style. So I tell my photographers in my workshops to please go get a business loan or get a low interest credit card and go big. Buy what
Right.
you're truly going to need. And now for the weekend shooter that's not looking to go pro, the Canon Rebel, I'm a Nikon shooter now. I used to be a Canon shooter. The bottom line cameras in both of those lines, and Sony's now become a market player too. But they're newer on the market. I will not switch over to them until I see that their products can stand the test of time for,
Right.
longevity and hardcore use. The bottom end for the average casual shooter, I call her the soccer mom or him the soccer dad. They want to come out, shoot their kids on the weekends. They're thinking they might want to go pro. And those cameras are okay. For God's sakes, do not walk into a wedding with one of those cameras. It will get you sued. Those cameras cannot handle the lighting conditions of a wedding. I wouldn't use them for boudoir. I mean, anything that you're truly wanting to get a paycheck at, you need to go buy the equipment.
Right.
I shoot, Canon has some new cameras out right now. Nikon is releasing some. Right now I'm shooting the D700 with the D300 as a backup.
Okay.
It serves my needs fine, you know, but I also know what I can push those cameras to. Where's my limit that I can go to on those? And no, don't go above that because it's going to get too much stat, you know, noise and stuff in my images. But, you know, go on up to the middle of the road and get a loan. If you're going to go pro, get a loan. And the first thing you need to do if you're going to go pro, go get a business license and go get at least $2 million in liability insurance. Those are the very
really?
Two first things you do.
Now, why is that? Because I don't know your industry very well.
Well, a lot of people think they can go shoot a wedding or something with their Best Buy camera they picked up last weekend because it's fun. And they think, oh, I'll put it on program and go. Well, your camera can't capture it. And when that couple comes back to you, if you don't have a signed contract and you're not a licensed, legitimate business, you're going to be signing the deed over to your house to them because they can see you for the full value of their wedding if you didn't write the right contract.
Right.
Yeah. I've shot weddings that were easily $250,000 and up.
Wow.
Easily.
Wow.
I mean, nowadays you could easily not, if you're at that beginner level, you're not going to be booking those. But, you know, the average wedding's running $20,000, $30,000. A lot of people would lose their homes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the judge is not going to take it that, well, I didn't know what I was doing. He's going to say, you were charging them money. You should have known what you were doing.
Right. That is a really good point because I think sometimes in more of the art world that sometimes people don't have the business perspective that they need to have. You know, this is a business that you're running. You're charging a premium. And, you know, especially on when you're talking wedding days. I mean, those are once in a lifetime.
That's it. And I tell people, if you're just starting, go shoot your neighbor's kids. Go shoot your kids. Go shoot people's pets. Go do landscapes. Learn your camera. Get your butt on a plane and get to a workshop. Do not take one in your backyard. Don't go to the community college or the local university and take a class. I know, and people are going to argue with this, there are some very good instructors out there teaching at that level.
Mm-hmm.
But my argument is if you are really, really good, you could be making easily, if you're very good. Most 90% of professional photographers fail in the first year. If you are really, really good, you could easily be making six figures. I am not going to give up a six-figure income to go teach at the community college for $30,000 a year.
Right.
I'm human. So if you truly want to learn photography, go to the best. Don't fool around with the local people. Plus, if you go take a workshop in your backyard, even though somebody, a big name, comes to your town, look around you when you're sitting there. You're sitting with all your competitors.
Right.
And I'm good friends with my competitors. We will go take workshops together because we help each other out and we love each other.
Right.
But I'm going to get on a plane. When I lived in North Carolina, my workshops I attended were in Paris. They were in Ireland. I went to Oahu and Molokai, Hawaii. I got out of my range, and yet I tore that area up because nobody else was doing it.
Yes, that's phenomenal, phenomenal insight because it really, one, it's pushing you to be even more experienced in your perspective of the world. And two, it's pushing you to, you know, take it to the next level. That when you're learning at that high caliber of level, that's why you're so professional what you do and why your photography is just phenomenal. I mean, you can just see the difference. I love
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Amazing. Absolutely. So I would
Thank
love to
you.
With I lost my train of thought here. What was my question? I just get so excited. Let's see here.
So with the new person getting started, what makes a good portfolio? Because I went to school for architecture, and we were taught, you know, you should be doing this and this to get into the master's programs for these type of programs. And you know, they had a structure to a portfolio. Is that the same for photography?
Well, it's sort of changed nowadays with all the modern technology. Nowadays, your portfolio is going to be your website, and that's your number one marketing tool. So the number one mistake I make with people I mentor, which I do have several people that hire me to mentor them, and I'm getting ready to teach again another two workshops coming up, but we'll talk about that later. I just lost my train of thought. Hello. Okay, so portfolios. With the websites, I see people putting pictures of their kids and their spouses up there. That's a huge no-no, because your first people coming to your website are people who know you. And it looks very unprofessional to have your kids at the swim meet or playing soccer or whatever. It's showing you have no clients. So it might be that you shoot a few family portraits, whatever you want to get into for free. And let me back up here too. Please, if you are getting started, the number one area you want to stay as far away from as humanly possible is weddings. And that's the number one place people go to, and it will get you sued so unbelievably fast, and you will lose that lawsuit. So don't start there. Go start with something that's in your comfort zone that you own the equipment for, and take workshops. But back to the website, you want to show your very, very strongest images. And I say this as I'm getting ready to take my current website down because it's not representing my work well. This represented me well a couple of years ago, and now I've got way better images that need to go in there because, again, we're always learning. We're always striving to be better.
Exactly.
So put your very best work out there, and do not ask, you know, your mother and your sister and your best friend to be the ones to critique your website. They love you, and they're not going to tell you the truth if it's horrible. Ask people you don't know. You know, ask, get a mentor or go attend workshops. Make friends there. I taught in Paris. Because I ended up there because I sat next to Scott Robert one night at a Yervant and Bambi Cantrell workshop, which I had assisted Bambi in another workshop. And Scott and I sat beside each other, got to talking, spoke 6 months later. I realized what a phenomenal photographer he is. And now he just teaches full-time all over the world. And we ended up packing up and taking off to Paris and teaching for a week there. And it was a blast. And we're still good friends with all those students. And out of 15 students, I think we have 6 or 7 of them now that are all internationally world-renowned photographers. Our stats out of that workshop was phenomenal.
That is amazing. That's incredible. And great insight for the new photographer, because I think a lot of people do. They want to tackle what everybody wants is those weddings and that type of big formal event. So what are some suggestions to help them build a portfolio and develop their skill sets but still be able to start getting paid as a business? Where do you suggest people start?
Well, you're not going to get paid at first, and that's what people don't understand. You know, I did a lot of work for free just getting my skills down. If you truly are serious about being a pro, you're not going to – it can take years to truly learn what you're doing and get the business aspect down and get your portfolio built up. And Barbara Solarski, who I took my Paris workshop from, my very first workshop, I asked her this question in there. I'm like, how do I know when I'm ready to go pro? And she said, when you take 100 pictures and 98 of them are sellable that you just nailed, you're ready to go pro. She said pros are not editing out, you know, 50, 80 images out of 100, which I know a lot of people that do that, and they shouldn't be. You know, they're not ready. And just because you've been shooting on weekends doesn't mean you're ready. You need to go get some good top-of-the-line instruction from, in my opinion, I go to the very best in the world.
Right.
I don't mess around with that. If I'm going to drop, you know, $2,000, $6,000, whatever, when all said and done on travel costs, on a workshop, I want to know the person I'm learning from is the top in their field.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree with the same way. You want to learn from the best because that knowledge is the percentage of knowledge that you're retaining from that. You want to get the top knowledge. So that's
exactly. And they're doing something that's working. Go learn how they do it. I would tell the person beginning, go find workshops. Again, not in your area. Get out of your comfort zone. You don't want on your website to show the local park. Especially if you're in a small town, you don't want to be down at the local park shooting all your potential clients that, you know, friends you can rally around to get to come pose for you, because that everybody in your area is going to show that same park. On my website, I show Shenandoah Castle. I was in the Loire Valley. Rachel, the girl I was shooting, was the masseuse at my chiropractor's office in Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
I took her to France with me. That was when we were going to teach the workshop, and we went a few days early because I'm like, you know, when I'm teaching, I'm teaching. I'm not there. I will get a few images to build my portfolio, but that's not why I'm there. I'm there to teach.
Right.
And, you know, so now it's like I took her early so we could go hit some areas on our own and I could improve on my skills.
Right.
So my number one suggestion for people is workshops, workshops, workshops. You can't get enough of them. I still take them myself. I'm studying with Krista Miola right now. As far as boudoir goes, I've not seen anybody that turns my head the way she does. She rocks
wow.
it. That's the area I'm really concentrating the future part of my business on right now. So I went to who I consider the best. Plus, I sat next to Krista and Michael Gilbert's workshop 2 years ago, and we became good friends. And, again, I had no idea that I was sitting next to a girl that's later here, probably in the near future, going to be a living legend.
Wow.
So I just adore her. And so, you know, we've remained in touch. WPPI is an excellent thing to go to in Vegas for the newbie. It's going to give you, it's a huge show. You know, there's a conference show. All the people that are tops in their fields are going to be lecturing and teaching there. You're going to come home with your head swimming. And it's coming up this month here in just a couple of weeks. I think I fly out the 19th for it.
I love your insight. And, you know, you never know who you're going to meet at these workshops, especially because you want to be around your peers and people that are living, breathing this as their career. And, you know, same for my profession, what I do. I meet incredible people at seminars and trainings and workshops. And you just, the relationships you build and the connections. I mean, now you're teaching with Michael Gilbert here. I'm going to let you go into that. But that's because you went to a workshop. You got out of your comfort zone. You flew to Paris. And look what happened. So I'd love for you to share.
I met Michael and Krista Miola in his lecture in Vegas 2 years ago.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I sat there. He is a fine art photographer. His images sell for $10,000-$15,000 a piece. He is in two art galleries right now that I know of in Maui and Paris. He has homes in both places. And he has become a dear, dear friend. Now, from attending that hour-and-a-half, two-hour lecture he gave, I met Krista Miola sitting next to me. I met Michael and got his card, went by and saw him at the Canon booth the next day to thank him because he was the only speaker that wasn't in there hawking a product. He had
yep.
nothing to gain by teaching this. It was strictly wanting to share knowledge, and I so admired him for that. And so the next year I emailed him saying, wow, you know, I'm coming back to your lecture again this year, and can I take you to dinner? And Nancy, his girlfriend, which she didn't get to attend with him last year, and I'm like, could I treat you guys to dinner, not to pick your brain, but just to thank you for last year?
Oh,
people
wow.
don't understand when you get somebody willing to go out and help you that much,
yep.
thank them. Do something
yes.
nice, totally uncalled for, to say thank you. And he wrote me back, and he said, no, I'm going to be busy with all my sponsors, you know, and I won't have time, but thank you. Well,
right.
days go by, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'll see you there at class. And days go by, and next thing I know, I get an email from him going, would you be willing to get up in front of hundreds or maybe thousands of people and introduce me? And I'm like, yes. So I'm like, hello. You know, this is where being nice and getting out of your comfort zone really pays off. And so I'm like, yes, I would love to. So I get up. I'm allergic to cigarette smoke, and here we are in Vegas, so I have no voice when I get up there, and I'm in front of all these people. And I look out, and I said, you know I could have canceled and asked him to get somebody else to do it, but screw it. I get to introduce Michael Gilbert. So I'm sorry you got to listen to my voice, but I'm here. Too bad. Well, I sit in that class. Angel Burns comes up to me, and she's a former actress, lives in Malibu. And it turns out she was in the very same class I was in 2 years ago. Michael mentored her that year. And while I pursued other avenues of my photography, she went after the fine art market. She's now being shown in all these art galleries. I used to be in galleries years ago before I ever, when I first started getting published, I was in some art galleries. I forgot to mention that. And so anyway, long story short, Angel and I become dear, dear friends. I have now stayed at her home in Malibu with Michael and April Williams and Kim Nielsen. We all grouped up there just as good friends. I brought Kim and April in because they're some of my best friends out of Dallas, and you watch out for your friends. And we all spent a week shooting in Pasadena and Malibu, and we went to a $30 million home to do some fine art shoots in their pool in Pasadena because it's Michael's cousin's house. And, I mean, seriously, just from going to Vegas and walking into a class 2 years ago, this is what all has come from it. I am now assisting Michael along with the Angel Burns in his master class in Vegas on the 22nd of February. And we're in the process right now of nailing down dates. We're teaching, I think it's going to be a 3-day workshop in Maui at the Waldorf Astoria, and we're getting all our students killer rates on their rooms.
Oh, wow.
And I will be the one that's organizing all that once Michael can get back with dates with me. So we'll be announcing that at WPPI later this month.
Oh,
so,
perfect.
You know, get to Vegas. If they want to start a photography career, that's one of the first places I would start. See who inspires you. Don't buy any products. When you walk in and somebody's hawking the new video light for $200 or they got DVDs or something, walk away, go to their booth later, take a good look at it, and figure out if it's something for you. But don't be so quick to jump on, because I have wasted thousands of dollars on stuff that I got home going, why did I buy all this wrought iron furniture to pose kids when I realized a week later I don't want to be a kid's photographer?
Right.
Yeah, kids are great, but I'm sitting on $1,000 of really uncomfortable wrought iron furniture I was going to use to shoot them on, and now I got to go sell it for, you know, $200. So.
Right. No, that's phenomenal advice, though, and that applies to everybody in every industry, because so many of these events you go to, it's just people pitching down all these products, and, you know, they may all be great, but you, like you said, like, figure out what your true, you know, desire is, and then go back and buy their product. I just thank you for sharing that, because that needs to be told more often than it is.
Well, if they catch you, and you're sitting there new, and at this point, you will throw money at anything to get you where you want to go.
Exactly.
Spend it wisely. Workshops. You know, my students, Bendella is a phenomenal photographer out of England, but he's from Jamaica, and he is just drop-dead gorgeous. And we're in Paris, and he's, you know, he was ready to quit the industry. He now works internationally. And I told him the first day when I met him, I said, come to breakfast with me, because he had all kinds of lighting questions. Because in England and France, when you show up to shoot a wedding, they bring studio lights with little, you know, battery packs and stuff to run them. And, my God, is that a lot of equipment to come walking in with? That would never fly in America.
No.
And he had bought several sets of lights. He was ready to give it all up because he was tired of hauling them around everywhere, and it was taking up all of his time trying to set them up. We went to breakfast, and I'm like, I usually do my post portraits, you know, with no lighting. And he sat there going, "How?" And I said, "Well, if I do use lighting, it's strictly with one flash. I'm of the Dennis Reggie school where you get in there, get it fast, get it quick, make them have fun, and get them out. Nobody wants to
Right.
stand there for 2 hours posing. They just
Yep.
spent thousands of dollars on this wedding day. Let them go enjoy their day."
Yep.
And now Ben Della, he's working internationally, and so the best information you're going to get is from other students and from your instructors at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and especially wine at night. That's when you get off subject and you truly can get some invaluable information that you might not find a workshop on.
Wow. Yeah, the true experience is what it comes down to. And just thank you for sharing that insight too, with thanking people and being there to really build a relationship, because you are proof that that is what can really explode your career very quickly when you build those relationships, because it's really about your network when you look at success in any way, and who you connect with. And that's just incredible, incredible insight, Kim. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you.
Yeah, so is there
Well, I
anything
hope
else?
that this, well, you know, I hope that this all applies to other industries too, besides people just wanting to be a photographer. Do your
Absolutely.
homework, get your finances in order. If you're wanting to start a new industry, don't go quit your day job when you're $20,000 in debt on a credit card.
Right.
You've just set yourself up for failure. Make sure you're out of debt, you've got financing to get your business off, and that you have operating capital for those first few years to make a living off of. And it takes time for things to catch on. And, for most businesses, take 5 years to truly
Right.
become profitable.
Right. And the thing
And,
with business, oops, sorry, keep going.
oh, I was, I'm sorry. I was just going to say I was lucky in that I ended up doing it the right way and doing the workshops first. So my business, I actually showed a profit my first year in business, which is almost unheard of.
Fantastic. But you had the time and you set it up right. And just like you talked about, the learning curve. You don't know what obstacles are always going to present themselves, and you don't really know how long that's going to take. So you have given, seriously, incredible insight, because it does. It applies to absolutely every single business, because it's those same foundational principles that you need to follow to be successful. So I truly appreciate you coming on the show. It's so great to have a different perspective from a completely different industry. So where can everybody find more about you and your photography and your classes?
Well, my website is just kimnoderft.com, and they can feel free to drop me an email off of there, and I can send them information on the classes. We don't teach often. I was invited back to Paris this year to do another workshop, but with my work schedule, I don't think I'm going to be able to get away again. So I'm looking at just doing the Maui one with Michael. And then we're in Vegas, of course, for the master class. So yes, if people drop me an email, I'll be happy to send out the information to them. Michael Gilbert does not have a website. There's another Michael Gilbert that is also a fine photographer, but that's not my Michael Gilbert. Being a fine art photographer, when you're selling at the level he is, you don't want your images shown on a website because of
Right.
theft.
Right.
So his stuff is only hanging in art galleries, and you can also see his work if you look at the Canon ads for magazines. He shot them. I don't know if he
Wow.
does 100% of them, but most of the Canon ads he has shot.
Wow. That is
Yeah,
just
he's living the
amazing.
life I want to live in Maui and Paris. I mean, seriously.
Yes. I know. It sounds fabulous. It's amazing. I love it. Well, great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Kim. And if you want to learn more about Kim, I'm also going to put a profile up on my blog at chrisgilbertson.com where you can learn more about Kim. I'm going to put all of her pictures up there. Well, not all of them, because she's got so many of them, but some really incredible pictures that you can learn from just by looking at them too. And just follow Kim and find out more about the photography if that's the route that you want to go. And again, this is Chris with the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful, and we unveil tips and strategies to help you in your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the interview and have a fantastic day.